I suppose with us having now access to so much technology, it's actually quite easy, isn't it, to research potential partners. Whether you should or not, I don't know. But I mean, come on, I would. If I met someone online and went for a date and thought, oh, yeah, I quite like them, I'd be putting their name in Google. Oh, probably when they nipped to the toilet. I wouldn't even wait till I got home. Because you'd want to know, wouldn't you? Let's see what Fevzy thinks to this. You would, Fevzy, wouldn't you? A little bit of online research?
Of course.
Of course. We're all at it.
It would be rude not to.
I would have thought so. But I guess, you know, technology has really changed things in so many ways, but particularly when it comes to dating.
Yeah. But this is also one of the reasons why I think people should, one of many reasons why we should be aware of what they call our digital footprint, what we do actually allow of ourselves out into public. You know, some people have much smaller footprints than others. You know, some people very hard to find. You almost start to think they're, that would worry me. Yeah, if there's nothing about them, you know, particularly, you know, before a certain date, that's probably a warning sign as well.
Dig a little deeper.
But, you know, but also for employers and so forth, employers do those sorts of checks, you know, and people sometimes have lost out on jobs they would otherwise have got because they put too many mad pictures of themselves in, you know, alcoholic or drug-addled fits, you know, and that sort of thing.
It's not what every employer's looking for.
No, and I think even President Obama warned the youth of America about this some years ago. He said, be careful what you put out there because it stays forever. In Europe, we have this thing now called the right to be forgotten, which is this idea that under certain circumstances, people can approach Google and other search engines and actually ask them to remove the content off the internet, but it means it wouldn't come up on Google. And sometimes if you do a Google search, when you get to the bottom of the page, it sometimes says to you that certain things may have been removed. This is because, you know, if someone, for example, has committed a crime, and done the time, as it were, then the idea is that they shouldn't carry on paying for that crime. Yeah. And yet certain crimes, you know, would have made it online and would have been big news at some point. And some people think that that's not fair, that the first time that a prospective employer or someone else, you know, looks them up, that's all they see. And some people are tarnished in that way.
Interesting. So really worth actually just Googling your own name just to see what comes up. You might be surprised.
Well, and also what you can do with Google is you can set a little alert so that whenever a new page appears with your name or indeed someone else's name on it, it automatically sends you an email, notifies you and sends you the link.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it you know, saves all that time at work, doesn't it?
As if. What do you mean? I've never, ever gone onto social media when I should be working.
It's part of your job.
It's part of my job. You're right. That's what we'll use when in the tribunal. That's what we'll say, Fevzy. Fevzy is the gadget detective. What he doesn't know about technology isn't worth knowing. If you're having a problem with your tablet, a problem with your laptop, whatever the issue, Fevzy's your man. Give him a call. The number 03-459-57-0057. Or you can text the word radio followed by your message to 81333. Firstly, though, let's find out about your gadget of the week. And this week it's a dash cam.
Yeah, so dash cams are increasingly popular. And for those that don't know what they are, they're little video recorders that you mount on the front dashboard of your car looking forward. And it records everything, which is why you see all this footage up on YouTube of funny things that happened whilst people were driving. However, there is a serious side to this. Increasingly, you know, we get involved in accidents which are not our fault. The other party lies. Sometimes it's, you know,
crash for cash,
flash for cash as well. You know, all of these. You know about flash for cash.
No, what's flash for cash?
Flash for cash is where the other driver flashes you to go and then pretends they haven't and drives into you and you appear to have been crossing their lane. They deny any knowledge of having flashed you. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you're actually told don't respond to people flashing, but we all do it, don't we? Yeah. We sort of flash each other to go. It's not a good thing to do at the best of times because you may flash someone to go and the car in the next lane may you know, run a pedestrian over or something. But yes, that's what they do. So they flash you to go. You turn, say, across their path, and then whilst you're turning across their path, they drive straight into you. Mm. And who's in the wrong? You are, because you were crossing the path when it wasn't safe to do so.
Awful.
So you've got this device. This particular one is from a company called Transcend. It's called the Drive Pro 220, and it's a dash cam, but it's got some rather nice bells and whistles. And I thought, you know, increasingly people are having these. Sometimes some insurers will give even a discount on your insurance if you tell them that you have one of these devices, but be careful. Only do it if you're a good driver, because obviously
if
you're in the wrong. This particular one, the Drive Pro 220, it's got a number of features on it that I like that aren't always standard and people should be aware of. First of all, it's got a GPS receiver built into it. So in addition to shooting video and indeed audio, so you can hear what's going on in the car and in the surrounding at the time, it logs the exact position using a GPS chip, the exact position, the date and the time, and that can actually be stamped onto the video. And that's really good because, you know, it will show you, for example, which lane you were in, and because it's GPS, you can work out how fast you were going at the time as well. So that's some additional information that's very important. The camera itself is very good. Sometimes you get the footage and it's not so good because you can't make out, for example, the number plate of another car. It's not right. Enough. So this one records at full high definition with 30 frames a second, so it's very high quality footage. And a couple of other features I liked is it's got something called lane departure warning system. So if you're a little bit tired or drowsy, let's say, you know, sometimes people drift out their lane without realizing it. This camera's smart enough because it's looking forward and it can see the white lines of your lane. If you start to veer out of your lane, it will warn you. It will give you an audible and a visible warning on the screen as well. It's got something called forward collision warning system. So again, it knows how fast you're going. It can work out more or less how far away you are from a vehicle or something else in front of you. And it will warn you if you're at risk of colliding into the thing in front of you. So you know, very clever, because, you know, most of these dash cams don't have that functionality. Also, it's got something called parking mode, which is where you park the vehicle, the camera automatically goes to sleep when you switch the car off. By the way, it records when you switch it on, stops when you switch it off, simple as that. So you don't have to fiddle with the buttons. But you can set it into parking mode, which means if anyone approaches your vehicle, it detects the movement of them, it starts recording.
Oh.
Not so good if they're approaching the vehicle to steal the dash cam, of course. But
no, there is that. But it could have its uses.
Well, it can. Also, it's got built-in Wi-Fi as well. So you can actually, you get an app on your smartphone, Android or Apple smartphone or app, or tablet rather, and you can, for example, transfer the footage without having to fiddle with the memory card. You can just Wi-Fi it over to your device. You can delete stuff, you can change the settings, you can do most things you can do on the machine, but you can do it from the back seat.
Short of driving you home and picking up a pizza on the way, it pretty much does it all. How much does it cost?
It's a shade under £120. The price fluctuates a bit, but I had a quick look on a well-known website, and it was about £120. Comes with a 16 gigabyte memory card as well, which is enough. Even at the highest resolution, it will store 2 hours and 20 minutes of video and audio, and then it just loops round.
So it just automatically clears it.
Yeah, exactly. I've given it 4.5 stars out of 5 because I think
he doesn't give those stars away willy-nilly.
I don't,
ladies
but
and gentlemen.
I was. Let me put it to you this way: I actually spent my own money on this.
Oh wow, that never happens. It must be good.
Well, you know, normally I'm just like, oh, okay, I've got that for a month. Test that. Back it goes, another one goes on the dash cam. But I thought this was actually worth spending money on because of those additional features and because the basics it does well with, particularly with the video quality. You know, full HD, that's 1080p, that's the same resolution as HD on your big screen. So you can take really high quality video footage. And I just thought, you know, it's well made. Nothing to criticise really about it. Yeah. I only didn't give it 5 stars because that's kind of just, you know, saying you can't improve it. Things can always be improved.
Oh, he's so harsh. We're talking to the Gadget Detective this afternoon. If you have a question, do get in touch. The number 03-459-57-0057. John calls from Crawley. John, you've got an issue with your Java.
Yes, good afternoon, Alison. Good afternoon, Pepsi.
Hello, John.
Java. I recently read an article regarding whether you need to keep Java on your machine. This is a laptop, I'm not a high-tech bloke, or get rid of it. And their argument was it was a sort of an entry point for spam.
Yeah, well, not so much spam as malware.
Right.
Yeah.
And the question was whether it's just worth deleting it so it's off the laptop.
Well, you know, it depends on what you do and what you access online. So Java and JavaScript are used, for example, in certain web pages and so forth. I think the answer to this, John, is you know, this is a free piece of software which you can re-download at any point. There's absolutely no harm in deleting it and seeing if it causes you any problems. It may be that, you know, you don't make heavy use of it, or that there are alternatives. This is, by the way, is exactly the same argument with Flash. And I would draw your attention to Adobe's Flash, which is a software product that's used to provide animation and graphics, particularly on websites. And Flash also is known as what they call an attack vector. It's a way that people get into your system because there's bugs in Flash, and it can be used to infect your computer. So I would say also disable Flash. And then just see how it goes. With Flash, if you, for example, are running the Firefox browser, it blocks Flash by default now. And then what it does is it allows you to reactivate it on specific websites. But certainly Flash I would try and do away with and see how you get on without Java. That will depend on your use of your computer.
I mean, I don't really know what programs benefit from Java.
Well, you'll soon find out when you disable it.
John, let us know how you get on. Thanks
but there's
for
no
your
harm,
call.
There's no harm in doing that because you can just download it again. Even if you've manually uninstalled it, you can just download it.
Not
for
the
free.
End of the world.
And by the way, it's not a bad thing in one sense, because when you download it again, you'll make sure you've got the latest version.
Funky Jay's got in touch. She says, why, oh why, is my web viewing so slow on my one-year-old HP desktop computer when my internet speed is very good, 17-ish? I use Internet Explorer, and somebody suggested using Firefox or similar. So infuriating. My tablet is instant, very fast.
Yeah. Funky Jay, I love this. Funky Jay, there can be many reasons why your internet may have slowed down. As you say, it's clearly not the speed of the internet coming in, but the browsing is slowing down. My observation is, of course, you should do virus checks and so forth, because one of the reasons is that there may be a virus or another piece of malware on your system, which is chewing up resources in the background without you knowing it, you know, emailing a gazillion people, you know, spamming people without you even knowing it. Your machine could be infected. But another reason, which is very, very common, is that when you go to a page, if you look in the bottom right-hand corner of your browser, very often you'll see lots of other little URLs, web addresses, just ticking past. And it's all the sort of monitoring that goes on behind the scenes to ad companies and people who monitor your use of the internet and all of this, you know. So when there are ads on a web page, those are active programs running in the background, and what they're doing is they're using your internet traffic, as it were, to monitor your use and your viewing of particular advertisements. Now, that has got out of hand, and because that's got out of hand, a number of people are installing a type of software known as an ad blocker. Now, on the one hand, ad blockers, there are some people who think they're not very moral to use an ad blocker, because if you're using someone's website for free and that website is funded by the advertisements that appear on it, if everyone were to use an ad blocker, then the website would go out of business. Mm. Yeah, it's a bit like buying a paper but having someone cutting all the adverts out of it first. You know? On the other hand, because of the implementation of these ads is so intrusive and sometimes brings very modern computers with fast internet connections down to their knees when they're trying to access particular sites, you know, I actually think there is a case for doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so there are a multiplicity of ad blockers that you can look at.
Some of those adverts, some of those pop-ups aren't always exactly appropriate either.
They're not always appropriate, and both in terms of their content, but which I think is probably what you're alluding to, but also the fact that sometimes they pop up right in the middle of the screen, and there's a timer on it, so you have to sit through it before you can close it. And they hide, you know, the little X to close a window.
Yes.
They put it in the most obscure.
You can never find it.
Well, exactly. And really, you know, that I think that's a bit sad on behalf of advertisers, because it just really says that what we've got to offer you is so uninteresting and so unattractive that we have to use technological means to stop you from switching past it. Of course, you know, it's the same with, you know, TV viewing. The technology to wind past or, you know, flip past adverts, broadcast adverts, has existed for a long time. But the likes of Sky and other broadcast platforms don't like you doing it, because that's part of their revenue model. So I would say do the checks, make sure, you know, do a full system scan, make sure you haven't got an infection on your system, which is, you know, always a good thing to do. But then consider using one of those free ad blockers and see if that just speeds things up. Yeah, I don't think another, I mean, you can always, it's always a good idea to have more than one browser on your system anyway. So you should try that. Ask me why it's a good idea, Alison.
Why is it a good idea to have more than one browser on your system, Fevzi?
Alison, you know, that's an excellent question. I'm so glad you asked me that. The reason is this. A browser is a piece of software which, like any other piece of software, can become corrupted or damaged, yes, through any reason. Now, if that's the case, then the way you fix that is you have to download the fix or the new version of the browser. But if your browser's damaged, you can't do it. But if you've got a second browser, then you can use that to repair the first.
There you go. See, he knows his stuff. What did I tell you? That's why he's called the Gadget Detective.
I know the answer to any question I ask you to ask me.
If you've got a question for Fevzi, you can call 03459 570057. Well, you've made Kay in Woking's day. She's got in touch to say, I've just Googled myself and my Facebook profile came up first, then an image of me with other Kays, then my Just Giving page, my Twitter profile and my LinkedIn page. I'm famous. So tell us more then about this survey, which has shown, shock horror, that a lot of us spend a lot of time on social media when we should be working.
Yeah, so it's a study by a careers website called Dice. They did this study about the UK workforce, and they are claiming that British employees send an average of 100 social media messages a day.
100 a day?
I'm finding this hard to believe,
that's
frankly.
That's a lot.
I mean, some people are quite prolific. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, the text allowance or your monthly text. I never get anywhere near my text allowance,
no.
I must admit. But
some people exceed it.
Some people clearly do, yeah. So there's a lot of that going on. And 70% of people admit to using Facebook messaging or WhatsApp or logging into other social media during working hours. So 70%, and that's the people that admit it. So presumably it's a little bit higher than that.
I guess you've got to be a little bit careful, though, because it's the sort of thing that could quite easily be tracked.
Yeah, and in fact, if most employers will have legally asserted their right to monitor what you do at work online, for various good reasons. And
what are they going to make of me and my duck bottom images? Fevzi, you don't know what I'm talking about now. You just think I've lost the plot, but don't worry.
I thought I misheard you. I'm tapping my headphones.
No, people who are listening will know why I was Googling images of ducks' bottoms. But anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah, in addition to that, so 70% admit to using social media, 40% have chatted to a new or hopefully new employer whilst actually at work.
Ooh.
9% have spent time flirting, to which I say, what, only 9%? That seems rather disappointing to me. And 31% have made online purchases. But just be aware, because all those, I mean, a lot of people actually drafting their CVs, their resumes, whilst at work and storing it on work servers, and they don't necessarily understand that this stuff is out in the open. The employer can read this at any time,
should they choose to do so. I know somebody who that happened to, actually. They took a day off sick when really they were going for an interview for a new job, and their employer checked their emails whilst they were away and found out what they were up to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for a reference, it's going to be a little bit awkward. Hilary calls from St. Leonard's with a quick question.
Hiya.
Hello.
Last month, the last time Fevzi was on, he was talking about a recording watch, and I wanted one for my birthday, and then I couldn't remember what it was called.
A recording what? Was it a recording radio?
It was a watch, you said. You said you'd bought two.
No, that's a radio, Hilary.
Oh, it's a radio, whatever it is, whatever it was.
She wants one, whatever it is. Doesn't know what it is, but she wants
one. I know it was a recording thing, yeah, and I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, it records the radio, not images.
That's what I wanted it for.
Right, for memory, it's an AGP Tech. That's
AGP.
Alpha Golf Papa Tango Echo Kilo.
Right.
AGP Tech. and the model was R for Romeo 08.
That's
and
brilliant.
I think they're about £20. They're FM radios.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I was telling my partner about it. He said, I'll get you one for your birthday. Then I couldn't for the life of me remember what it was called.
It didn't help that he was out looking for a watch.
No,
Hillary.
It wasn't. No.
I know. You had me confused, Hillary, I have to say.
The idea was, I like the idea of a recording one because I love some of the Sussex programmes like David Allen. And I thought, I need to record him. And then I can't remember. That's brilliant. Thank you ever so much.
Hilary, and also you can, as well as recording all Alison's output, you can also record your own voice. It acts as a voice recorder.
Yeah, that was useful as well.
And so it's got what's called a line input, so you can plug another device into it and record audio from something else as well.
Oh, brilliant.
So it's kind of handy.
As I said, it was such a brilliant price and everything. I thought, I need one.
You need one of those in your life, Hilary. Thank you for that. Very quickly, let's go to Jerry. Quick question, Jerry.
Hello there. I have a smart television. We use Skype to get in touch with our two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told by pop-ups on the television that service is no longer supported from the beginning of June. I have spoken to the television manufacturer. They say it's nothing to do with them. Oh. Ring Microsoft and Skype, and I did, and they deny that they know anything about the issue.
Mm.
Is there a workaround that you're aware of? Can I download an app direct to the television so I can continue to use it?
It depends. Do you know if your television uses a software called Android within it, or is it...
Not sure.
Okay, I think the thing is, the answer is it depends. If it's something called Android, that's the same software that appears in many smartphones, in which case, yes, you can download apps. But but usually on smart TVs, that's not the case. They're kind of like a what they call a walled garden, a closed system, and there's only the apps that they allow you to have. If that's the case, then there are workarounds, but they cost money. Do you own anything like a tablet or a smartphone at the moment?
I've got a tablet manufactured by the same company as the television.
Well, your tablet will be almost certainly be capable of running Skype.
Okay.
So, what tablet do you have? Let me just check.
It's a Galaxy whatever.
Okay, Samsung Galaxy. It's a Samsung Galaxy Tab. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's got a camera built in. It runs a version of Android. So, and there is an official Skype app available for it. So you can download the app on there. Connect it using. I assume you have Wi-Fi in your home.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So you just connect it to Wi-Fi and you Skype away like that.
There you go. Sorted.
And by the way, that will give you a much better sound quality because when you're using your TV set, not only is the camera a long way away, but the microphone is a long way away as well, which means that the other person will hear you echoey. Whereas when you're using the tablet, it's much closer to you. The sound that you project will be much better.
Brilliant. Fevzi, as always, thank you so much. People can follow you on Twitter for free tech advice, can't they?
They can. It's @GadgetDetective. So if you want some basic advice, I can give it to you via Twitter. Or if you just want to come and say hello. I don't have a social life. Haven't dated in a while. So, just come and say hello. It'll be fine.
He's got some fantastic gadgets, though, around his.